Again, it is always an honor and a privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I never take for granted the opportunity that you give me to do that. And I don't know of any place in the world that I'd rather be at 6:45 on a Sunday evening than here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. The evidence is strong that most people who read and claim to live by the Bible do not really believe what it says. They do not in fact accept Jesus Christ as the only and final authority in all the things. Instead, they use tradition, they use custom, they use morality, theology, history to establish a proof of what is done doctrinally right and what is wrong. Many do not even accept the claim of the Bible that it's verbally inspired of God. Problems will continue to multiply as long as religious leaders insert their opinions into Bible teaching. At this time, I want to give you 7 books more loved and trusted than the Bible. 7 books more loved and trusted than the Bible. Now, many people are surprised to learn that there are 7 books more loved and trusted than the Bible. So let's look at those 7 books to see if they're worthy of your love and your trust. For many people, the very idea that any book could be loved more and trusted more than the Bible is nothing less than blasphemy. Yet it is true. It's true. What's even more surprising is that some people who love and trust these other books claim allegiance to the Bible. Others embrace these books and don't even realize that they're doing it. How could this be, brethren? How could this be? Especially when Jesus warns, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," in John 14 and verse 6. How could people follow some other book than the Bible? As you will see, it's actually very simple. In fact, you could be a victim of one of these false books and not even know it. The first false book I want us to look at is the book of opinion. The book of opinion. This book is probably the most popular of the 7. It's frequently used to replace the actual study of God's Word. You know that people are using this book when they say something like, "Well, it just seems to me. It just seems to me." When people build their hope on the book of opinion, they are headed for trouble because the book of opinion is not inspired. It is not in the gospel. It is not the gospel. And Paul said in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So, brethren and friends, the gospel is God's power to save, and nothing else will save you. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 and look at verse 12 with me. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Here the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now compare the ever popular "it just seems to me" statement to Proverbs 14 verse 12 that we just read, or to Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, where Jeremiah said, "It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." You see the difference? Now turn with me, if you will, go back to the New Testament in John 12 and verse 48. Familiar passage for most Bible students. John 12, verse 48, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So you see, the book of opinions does not lead to eternal life. Toss it out. Build squarely on the Bible. After all, it is God's word and not the book of opinion that will save you in the last day. The second false book is the book of emotionalism. Emotionalism. Quotes from this book often include the phrase, "Well, I just feel in my heart. I just feel in my heart." It's amazing that anyone would use this book for spiritual guidance. Proverbs 28 and verse 26 warns, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Yet, it is a popular book in many religious circles. The danger of this book is further seen when we consider that everyone feels that he is right. No one becomes part of a religious group because he feels that that group is wrong. They don't do that. If feeling right makes a person right, then most people will be saved, and Jesus was wrong. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven," in Matthew 7 and verse 21. So toss the book of emotionalism. Toss it out. Build squarely on the Bible. The third false book is the book of "My Preacher Says." My Preacher Says. Many people substitute this book for study. They don't have to study, they just listen to the preacher. He tells them, "You don't need to study. Listen to me, I'll tell you what you need to know." The problem with this book is that everyone has his own versions, and the versions are as different as night and day. And if this book was truly inspired by God, then all the versions would be the same, because God is not the author of confusion. How do I know that? I know that because Paul told me so in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, when he said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Look with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9. Here we see that God anticipated this book. This book of "My Preacher Says." Verse 9. Galatians 1 and verse 9. "If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. It does not matter who your preacher is or what he thinks. The Holy Spirit has told him if he teaches anything different from the Bible, he is wrong. You are to count him among the accursed." Now read with me, if you would, 2 John 9 through 11. 2 John 9 through 11. The Apostle John wrote, 2 John 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now listen now, if there come any in unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." God's not inconsistent, brethren. He is not inconsistent. After inspiring Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9 that we just read, God will not contradict himself by telling your preacher to preach a different message than the Bible message. Preachers can make mistakes and they can be wrong. Don't trust the book of "My Preacher." Toss it out. Build on the Bible. And brethren and friends, this is one of the reasons that I usually start my lessons by asking you to open your Bibles and follow along, and not to take my word. Don't take the word of any man, only the word of God, the Bible. And let me tell you, turn to Acts the 17th chapter with me, please. And let me say this. If you feel a little guilty about double-checking your preacher's teaching, then read about the Bereans. The Bereans were praised, they were commended by Paul for double-checking the teachings of the great apostle Paul in Acts 17 and verse 11. The Bible says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind," listen now, "and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." So I tell you, brethren and friends, if Paul can stand double checkings, then certainly preachers today can stand it. The truth has nothing to lose and everything to gain when double checked. The fourth false book that we need to look at is the book of sincerity. The book of sincerity. This book is being used when you hear the phrase, "Well, it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you're sincere." Most people are sincere, yet that doesn't make them right. Sincerity alone is not enough. Paul said that Jesus will take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. He also said that those who do not obey the truth will receive tribulation. Now come with me, if you will, look with me what Paul says about this in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 and 9 when you get there. Romans 2, verses 8 and 9, the great apostle Paul said, "But unto them that are contentious, and do not," listen now, "and do not obey the truth, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile." What did you say is going to happen, Paul? He said indignation, wrath, and tribulation, and anguish on they that obey not the truth. While we must be sincere, we must also be right, though. Those who are sincerely mistaken are in for a rude awakening on the judgment day. And Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 14, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." So brethren, toss out the book of sincerity, build squarely on the Bible. The fifth false book is the book of tradition. The book of tradition. Quotes from this book sound something like this. "It was good enough for Grandpa, so it ought to be good enough for me." If you remember, Jesus scolded people for mixing tradition within the Word of God. Let's look at what he said about that in Matthew, the 15th chapter. 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. Now the Lord is speaking here, and he says, verse 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." There is no doubt that following the religion of our ancestors will bring us to be with them eternally. No doubt about it. But the question is, where will it be? Where will it be? So be careful. Just because Grandpa did it, it doesn't make it right. So toss the book of tradition out. Build squarely upon the Word of God. Come with me. Now the sixth and final, the sixth false book that I want us to read and talk about is the book of want to. The book of want to. Some people think just because the majority want to, that makes it okay. Well, folks, it is just not so. That is not so. If a million people believe a stupid idea, it's still a stupid idea. The majority walk the broad way that leads to destruction, as Jesus said in Matthew, the seventh chapter, verses 13 and 14. And to assume that the want to of the majority is acceptable to God is the ultimate in pride and arrogance. We please God by following His Word, not the want-to of men. Let's take time to read what Paul says about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you'll come with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's read verses 2 through 5. Paul says, "Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." What are you saying, Paul? He says, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. That means preach it anywhere, anytime. He says, reprove, that means to convince, I mean try to convince. He says, rebuke, that means to scold. And he says, exhort, which means to preach. He said, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Then he goes on to say, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, after they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, he says, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So toss it. Toss the book of want to out. Build squarely on the Bible. And the seventh book, seventh false book is the book of updating. Updating. Now quotes from this book sound something like this. We need to get with the times. We're behind times. We need to get with the times. To update the Bible is to doubt the sufficiency of the original. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So updating necessarily refers that the Bible is not good enough the way that God wrote it. Now tell us, please tell us, where is the man or where is the woman qualified to judge God's word in this manner? Show me that person. It gets worse. Jesus goes on to say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will endure forever. In Matthew 24, verse 35. So I ask you, was Jesus right or was Jesus wrong? If the scriptures need updating, then Jesus' word did not endure, but it grew old and was in need of repair. Are you willing to take such a stand against the scriptures and call into question the power and the judgment of God? So toss out that book of updating. Build squarely upon the Bible. Now, Jesus said to those Jews who relied so much on their scriptures in John 5 and verse 39, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They had the scriptures from God, but did they really believe them? If they had understood and believed what the Old Testament said, they would have believed what it said concerning Jesus. We criticize these Jews for their unbelief, while at the same time revealing exactly the same disposition towards the New Testament scriptures. Brethren and friends, the Bible is important. It's important. It is the only means of knowing the will of God. If we do not believe it, we are no better off than if we had no revelation at all. On the other hand, if we really believe the Bible, we must accept some facts that most people will reject in modern religion. First, we must accept and believe that the Bible is all-sufficient. If we really believe what the Bible says, we must believe it to be all-sufficient and complete as a revelation from God to man. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, if you would, please. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Brethren, that is the Old Testament. That is the New Testament. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when men feel the need to create creeds, which will define their various beliefs, they're saying by that act that the New Testament is not sufficient to do the job. The second point, we must really believe and accept that there is only one way to heaven. If we really believe what the Bible teaches, we must believe that there is just one way to heaven, and that is by Christ and His Word. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And He goes on to say in John 14 and verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus went on to say in John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Denominationalism Denominationalism contends that there are many ways to heaven, each denomination claiming its own doctrine to be the one way. The only way one can come to God by Christ is to obey the full authority of Christ in the New Testament. All who go beyond in any respect or come short in any manner of that which is the authority of Jesus are not in the way. We have to believe this if we believe the Bible. And the third point, we must really believe and accept that all the saved are in the church. If we really believe what the Bible says, we must believe that the church is important to salvation. Usually denominational teachers will insist that the church is not important to one's salvation because to do so would present them a problem of deciding which one is important. That's where they have a problem. They have a real problem. They're deciding which denomination is important because they're all different. But Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 28, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The one body, the church, was so important to Christ that he died for it. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25, the blood that was shed for the one church he built was for the remission of sins. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of no other, of his church only. The Bible also teaches that there is but one body of Christ. In Ephesians 1 verses 22 and 23. And finally, if we must really believe and accept that only the pure gospel is the power to save. If you really believe what the Bible says, we must believe that only the pure gospel of Christ is the power to save. I read this a moment ago, but I'm going to do it again. Paul wrote in Romans 1 and verse 16. You can come with me if you like. It's a familiar passage. Paul says, I am not ashamed. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel of Christ is the power to save. That's the only way that you can be saved. Now earlier we read Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9. Now I'm going to go back there and read verses 6 through 8 if you'll go with me. It's Galatians 1, verses 6 through 8. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul said, if anybody preaches any other gospel than he preaches, or that the apostles preach, or that Jesus Christ preached, the Holy Spirit has given us, let him be accursed. The Bible is the best-selling book in the world every year. Never, ever does it contradict itself. Men have been trying to find contradictions in the Bible for 2,000 years and probably longer. There's not one known fact in the field of science or history or geography, anthropology, psychology, or any other area of study that contradicts or is at variance with the Holy Bible. The writings of men in all of these fields of study contains errors and they contain blunders, but none of these errors or blunders are found in the Bible. The Bible is God's book. It's God's book. It is God's revelation to man. It is a book that reveals who God is and how man can come to know him. The Bible reveals how God demands to be worshipped and what man must do in order to be pleasing in his sight. When people reject the Bible and its inspired teachings, they have in effect rejected God. I want you to think about this. But denominations. The things that God has promised His children would be meaningless if the same promises were promised to us by men or denominations, wouldn't they? Think about it. It'd be meaningless. And remember, every denomination in this world was started by a mere mortal man. Man simply cannot give us a crown of life. He can't give us eternal life. He can't give us eternal inheritance. Or he can't give us eternal rest. And we wouldn't expect him to receive such things from men or denominations. Jesus promised to save his body, the church, in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. But he never, ever promised to save any denomination. So, brethren and friends, this one gospel requires faith in Christ and his authority. It requires repentance of sins. It requires a confession with the mouth, the faith in the heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It requires baptism, a burial in water for the remission of sins. Remember what Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. To believe the Bible, my friends, to believe the Bible means to believe all these facts, all the commands, and all these promises that are revealed in it without addition or subtraction. Jesus urged men everywhere to accept the simple proposition that he is the Christ, the Son of God, to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and to take up his cross and follow him, and as a member of his church, enjoy the promises and hope of eternal life. If there's anyone here this evening, and you have not become a Christian, why don't you do so as Jesus pleased with you now? If you've been remiss in your duties as a Christian, if you've fallen away, please take care of it this evening, for it may be too late if you don't do it right now. Please, please, Jesus is waiting. He pleads you, come right now as we stand and as we sing.